الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Viewers of Madani Channel, there are many virtues of reciting Durood Sharif, Salat upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Man salla alayya fi yawmin alfa marra. Whoever recites Salat upon me 1,000 times daily, لَمْ يَمُتْ حَتَّى يَرَى مَقَعَدَهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. He will not die until he sees his place in paradise in Jannah. Subhanallah, look at the reward. 10 minutes, 20 minutes maybe of recitation of Salat ala Nabi, and you will be given the reward mentioned in this hadith, that a person will not die until he sees his place in Jannah, in paradise. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to recite Salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in abundance. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Inshallah, in the time we have today, we'll be hearing about a beautiful quality, an attribute of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And truth be told, this is an attribute and a quality that we have discarded today. We have almost abandoned it. It was found within the noble dhat, personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we will hear about those incidents, those accounts, where the Prophet ﷺ displayed and expressed this quality. But first of all, you're probably thinking, what quality, what attribute are you referring to? The Prophet ﷺ has countless, matchless attributes and qualities. Inshallah, today we will be speaking about the hilm, ha lam mim, the hilm, forbearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to begin, inshallah, I would like to mention an account from the life of the best of mankind, alayhi salatu wassalam. Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates, and this is an account mentioned in Subulul Huda wa Rashad. She states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam purchased a camel in exchange for a wathq. Wathq is an amount which is equivalent to around 540 pounds of dates. So that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to give, and he would purchase the camel. When the Prophet alaihi wasallam arrived at his blessed residence, his blessed home, he could not find the dates. So he went back, and the person that he was to give the dates to, the Bedouin, he proclaimed, when he heard the Prophet ﷺ said, I couldn't find the dates, what did he say? In public, in the open, that person said, alas, I have been deceived. Alas, I have been deceived. Now imagine this. Somebody saying regarding you in public, in the open, that you're a deceiver, that you're not trustworthy, that you're dishonest. How would you feel? Your blood would boil. You'd become enraged. You'd become angry. This person is defaming me in front of everyone in the public. How is this possible? But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam didn't react. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, when they heard this Bedouin say these words regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they rushed towards him to reprimand him, to tell him off. And they said, "You say such things about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma'azallah, that he was a deceiver." The Prophet alaihi wasallam said, "Leave him alone. Because the person who has a rightful claim, after all, he has the right to speak. And he is right in his own, from his own perspective. He has a right upon me. And he is speaking up." The Prophet ﷺ said this twice or thrice, two or three times. But despite being advised, the Bedouin didn't listen. He wanted his dates. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered a companion to go to Khawla bint Hakim radiallahu anha. And he said to the companion, "Go to her, ask her if she's got these dates, and then bring these dates." So this companion went and he conveyed this message of the Prophet alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking whether you have dates, and if you could borrow them, he will give them back to you. Khawla bint Hakim radiallahu anha, she said that, "Yes, we do have dates. Ask someone to come and take them." So when the message was conveyed back to the Prophet ﷺ that yes, Khawla bint Hakim radiallahu anha, she has those dates, a wasq, 540 pounds of dates, and she's asking someone to come and take them, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Take this Bedouin, the one whose right it is, the one who is owed these dates, take him and give him the dates which are his due." Now when the Bedouin returned with the dates, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was amongst his Sahaba. The Bedouin came to the Prophet alayhi salam and said, "Jazakallahu khayra. May Allah Almighty give you a good reward. You gave what was binding upon you to give to me in a nice manner. You returned it to me." And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The best from among the people are those who give the whole share in a good manner." So whatever they need to give to someone, they give it entirely in a very good manner. Views of Madinah, inshallah. Look at this account from the life of the Prophet ﷺ. How the Prophet ﷺ purchased a camel in exchange for 540 pounds of dates. He went home, he couldn't find the dates. He went back to the seller and said, "We checked, we looked extensively, we can't find the dates." And the seller, the Bedouin, what did he do? He said openly, he started shouting that, "Alas, I've been deceived, alas, I've been deceived." Now, if someone did that regarding us, we'd be angry. But the Prophet ﷺ remained calm. He was forbearing. He was patient. The Sahaba tried to rebuke this person. "What are you saying regarding the Prophet ﷺ?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Leave him. He has a right upon me." And then he asked if Khawla bint Hakim had those dates and whether she could give them and they will be returned to her later. She said yes. And then the Bedouin was sent. He was given his entire due, whatever he was due in terms of dates, 540 pounds worth of dates. This shows us that whenever the Prophet ﷺ was in a situation where potentially he could have expressed anger, subhanallah, he did not express anger. Instead, he showed great patience and forbearance. Allah Ta'ala giving him so much forbearance. It was a matter related to his own thought. It was a personal matter, but he didn't react. How many of us would have reacted in the same way? Or would we have been amongst those people who would have reacted by saying, "How dare you call me a deceiver?" And then, ma'adallah, turn this into a physical altercation. So we learn from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we must be tolerant. We must be forbearing. And subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given glad tidings to those who are forbearing. Has given glad tidings to those who have the best character, the best mannerism. Listen to this narration, subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "Undoubtedly, the most beloved and the closest to me in the hereafter from amongst you will be the one who will have the best manners, and the person I dislike the most and who will be far away from me in the hereafter will be the one from amongst you who has the worst manners." Powerful hadith. Think about it, the Day of Judgment, billions and billions of people, maybe even trillions of people. We don't know how many people have existed from the beginning of time and how many will come until Qiyamah. But imagine, from all of creation, the people who are closest to the Prophet ﷺ are who? Those with good manners. Those who have good akhlaq. And those who will be further far away from the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are those who have the worst manners. Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, I love those who have good manners. Now me and you, we need to ask ourselves, what are our character like? Are we good with everyone? And here, one thing to note, sometimes it's very easy that when you leave your homes and you meet people, you meet acquaintances, that you show and display good manners to them. This is the easy part. Because you may see your friend or you may see your colleague every now and again, or for less time. But as for your family members, who you see every single day, for hours on end, your spouse, your children, your parents even, what are our manners like in regards to our close ones, our relatives, who we see daily? That's the real struggle. We can seem all nice and someone who possesses good manners outside the home, but what about inside the home? That's the real test. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one with the best manners, the one who has good manners and akhlaq, will be close to me on the Day of Judgment, and we should strive towards that. Listen to what Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the proof of Islam, says regarding good character. He says, if you want to spot the signs of good character, then these are the signs. He says, a person with good character is the one who is most modest. He has haya within him. He does not harm anyone. He performs righteous deeds. He speaks the truth. He speaks little. Is habitual of practicing good deeds. Prevents himself from mistakes as much as possible. Avoids useless speech, is dignified, righteous, tolerant, content with the will of Allah Almighty, thankful, soft-hearted, pure character, and affectionate. That's the sign of someone who has good character, these things. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi continues, he says, he shouldn't be someone who curses, someone who swears, backbites, harbors malice, enmity towards a fellow Muslim, is hasty, stingy, jealous. He should be cheerful. Imam Ghazali said he shouldn't be what I've just said, the previous things, those reprehensible traits. He should be cheerful. He should love and hate only for the sake of Allah Almighty, and be pleased and displeased with someone only for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So good character is very, very important. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that personality who has been described as having a lofty character in the Holy Quran. We don't have to look far for a role model in this regard. Allah Jalla wa Ala says regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim." And indeed you are upon lofty character. You are on great character. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has beautiful character. Who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when we look at why the Prophet alaihi wasallam was sent, why did he come to the world? The Prophet alaihi wasallam himself said, "Bu'ithtu لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ." I was sent in order to perfect good character. I was sent for this purpose, for the completion of good manners, good character. Now when the Prophet ﷺ is sent for that purpose, subhanAllah, imagine his own character. Imagine his own beautiful mannerisms. So we should follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I move on and I mention some more accounts from the seerah of the life of the Prophet alayhi salam and how he displayed tolerance, forbearance, patience, let's first hear the definition, the Shari'i Islamic definition of forbearance and its importance. Forbearance means to suppress the anger through one's nature. You have to try and change yourself. You have to, if it's hard for you, you might say, oh, it's not within my nature. But the ulama say you must try. You must try and develop forbearance. And in one hadith we're going to hear later on, we're told that you will only develop tolerance by practicing it. But the more you practice tolerance and forbearance, the more it will become a part of your nature, inshallah. So whenever you're angry, and you can take revenge, but if you choose not to, this is forbearance. And listen to what the Prophet ﷺ says about the one who controls himself. This hadith is in Kanzul Ummal. The strongest one amongst you is the one who controls himself when filled with anger. Filled with anger, rage, you want to react. You want to take revenge, but you control yourself. And the most tolerant is the one who, despite having power, forgives. You have the power to take revenge, but you forgive instead. This is the strongest person This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, seek honor and piety from Allah Almighty. The companions, alayhim ridwan, they said, how shall we do that? How shall we seek honor and piety from Allah Almighty? The Prophet ﷺ replied, maintain ties with those who break ties with you, and bestow upon those who deprive you, and adopt tolerance before those who treat you ignorantly. Three things have been mentioned. Those who cut off ties with you, mend those ties, join those ties. Don't just think, oh, he doesn't want to know me, that's it, I won't reach out to him now, I won't try to reconcile with him. No, the prophetic teaching is to mend ties with those who break ties with you. Bestow upon those, grant to those who deprive you. So we don't reciprocate. If they don't give us, oh, I'm not giving them. This is what happens. He didn't invite me, I'm not going to invite him. And there's so many examples that can be given. But here, we're told by the Prophet ﷺ that somebody who deprives you, you are to give to him. And lastly, somebody who behaves ignorantly towards you, show patience. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know in the Quran, He will reward those who are patient. He will reward them in full. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ So, forbearance is something that we need to make a part of our life, a part of our character. The Prophet ﷺ had immense levels of forbearance. The Quran says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ So what a great mercy it is from Allah that you, O dear Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are lenient, gentle towards them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ But if you are harsh, if you are hard-hearted, people would have dispersed from your company, dispersed from your circle. Why did people want to come close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why did they want to join his circle, his company? Why? Because he was gentle, he was lenient, he was affectionate, he was accommodating. These are the reasons why. And we have to think regarding our life as well, our days and nights. Do people want to be in our company or people want to distance themselves from us? Good riddance to him. He no longer messages me. I don't have to see him. What do people think about us? This is something that we should think about. When we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the amount that he was oppressed, Allahu Akbar, he was oppressed to a great level, persecuted. When he began proclaiming, inviting people to Islam, his own tribe, many of them abandoned him. They started to treat him in an ill manner. And we know the account when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Ta'if. And there he went to three influential personalities. They were brothers and they were from the tribe, the family of Amr. The three brothers were Abd Yalil, Mas'ud and Habib. The Prophet ﷺ's thinking was, if I preach to them and they accept my message, because they're so influential, people will accept Islam in that region. But what happened? Allahu Akbar. Those three influential brothers all discarded the message of the Prophet ﷺ. They didn't accept it. They rejected it. They denied it. They refused it. And not only that, ma'azallah, they incited the people of their tribe to hurt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pelted with stones and his blessed body was bleeding. His sandals became filled with blood. They were pelting him with stones. To the extent that because of the lack of energy, because of the pain, the Prophet alaihi wasallam would sit down. But these ruthless people would again pick up the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make him get up and walk again. And they kept pelting him with stones to the extent that his companion who was with him, Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu an, subhanAllah, look at his love for his master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that I would throw my body in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that those stones hurt me and not reach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his body was also bleeding, he had wounds on his body as well. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought refuge in an orchard. There was a grape orchard nearby, he went there. What happened thereafter? Allah Ta'ala is observing this. He is all knowledgeable. His beloved is being persecuted on the earth. What happens? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's mentioned, says that Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam called out to me. And he said, Allah Almighty has heard the saying and the answer of your nation. Meaning, Allah is observing this. You're inviting them towards Islam. They're rejecting your message. Not only rejecting your message, they're harming you. They're hurting you. Allah knows of this. And now the angel of the mountains is present. Command it to destroy them if you want. And in that situation, the Prophet ﷺ had every right to tell or command the angel to destroy these people. Look how they treated the Prophet ﷺ. They hurt him physically. He was bleeding. They rejected his message. But what did the Prophet ﷺ say? No. I will not order the angel of the mountains to destroy them, to throw these mountains on top of them. No. But rather, I hope that Allah Almighty will bring such people forth from their offspring who will believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they will not commit shirk polytheism. Use of Madinah channel, just ponder for a moment. In a situation when someone has physically been violent towards you, hurt you, you're bleeding, there's wounds on your body, how would people react? Generally speaking, if they can't take revenge straight away, they'll wait for a while and they'll plan and plot and they'll take revenge sooner or later. They'll get other people involved. But the mercy unto all the worlds, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't react in this way. Allah Ta'ala is saying that if you want, those people can be destroyed for your sake. But what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? No. It was an epitome, an embodiment of tolerance and forbearance, subhanAllah. He displayed patience. And what did he say? I have hope that their offspring will accept and embrace faith in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They won't commit shirk afterwards. So this was an account from the life of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, a great lesson for us. We get angry over trivial matters. If someone's spouse has cooked food and she's added an extra amount of salt or a certain ingredient, he loses it. So what's this? What was the point of spending all that time cooking when you can't even cook? Ma'azallah. Or he'll say to his child, instead of encouraging his child, he'll disobey his child. Oh, you're so slow, you're this, you're that. When are you going to grow up? When are you going to become more wise? And we react so badly over trivial small matters. And we're filled with rage. So we learn from the life of the Prophet ﷺ that these are not matters over which we should display such levels of anger and wrath. The Prophet ﷺ faced far greater trials, but he never reacted in this way. Who doesn't know about the account of Fathu Makkah, the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarramah? The same people who had martyred members of the family of the Prophet ﷺ. The same people who drove out the Prophet ﷺ from his hometown, from his birthplace, Makkah al-Mukarramah. The Prophet ﷺ had to migrate to al-Madinatul Munawwarah because of them. The same people who persecuted the Muslims. The same people who placed boulders on the bodies, on the chests of the Sahaba, and made them lie on the hot desert sand of Arabia, and would make them, try to make them renounce their religion. These same people, they're in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lined up in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam is in a position of authority now. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam can react, give one order, and all of them will be neutralized. It could happen. But what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He asked them, he said, how do you think you will be treated today? Allahu Akbar. How do you think you will be treated? They said, Nadunnu khayra. Subhanallah. They knew the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They witnessed his character. They knew about his beautiful personality. They said, we think you will deal with us in a good way, in a good manner. And then they explained why. They said, Nabiyun kareemun, wa akhun kareemun, wa abnu akhin kareemin, wa qad qudirta. That you are a noble prophet, a noble brother, the son of a noble brother. And right now you're in a position of power. But people who are generous, people who are kareem, they don't react in a bad way. This is what the Quraysh said, those people, those disbelievers who had persecuted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet alayhi wasallam, after hearing this, said to them, today I will say to you the same thing that Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi wasallam said to his brothers. That's an entire different story, but you know the account. When the Prophet Yusuf alayhi wasallam was thrown down the well, then he was purchased, sent to Misr, there he faced great trial as well. And in the end, he had a position of power and authority as well. His brothers were before him. And the Prophet said, today I will say the same thing that Prophet Yusuf said to his brothers. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. There's no rebuke upon you today. There's no rebuke upon you today. Yaghfirullahu lakum. Wa huwa arhamur rahimin. Allah will forgive you, and He is the one who shows the greatest mercy. Now this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reacted. So to a greater extent, when we face minor matters, trivial matters, we should display patience, forbearance and tolerance as well. I remember one thing regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never took revenge for his own sake, for his own dhat, for any personal matter. He wouldn't take revenge. If he saw the deen being violated, the laws of Sharia being transgressed, then he would speak out. Then he would express anger. And we should do so. So what we do today is the opposite. Someone's harmed us personally or it's a personal matter, we go all out on the attack. When we see something wrong, it doesn't even affect us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the opposite. How many assassination attempts were there on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So many. In one particular account, the Prophet alaihi wasallam was asleep. He was on a journey, he was asleep. Ghawras bin Harith had come to take the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a sword in his hand. He saw the Prophet alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alaihi wasallam awoke and he said to the Prophet alaihi wasallam, "Oh Muhammad, who will save you from me?" What did the Prophet alaihi wasallam reply? Allah Almighty will save me. When he heard that, subhanAllah, that voice, the aura of prophethood, he dropped his sword. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked the sword up and said, who will save you from me now? But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was begged to show mercy, Ghawrath begged for his life, the Prophet alayhi salam forgave him. The Prophet alayhi salam forgave him and he returned to his tribe and said, I've just returned from the person who is the best of all mankind. This was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People tried to poison the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He forgave them. Labid bin Asim, the Mufassirun have written, performed magic on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He forgave him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on a different level. Subhanallah. He never showed anger for his own sake, but when he saw the Sharia being violated, that's when he would speak up. And this is what the Prophet alaihi wasallam has told me and you as well. Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadi. Whoever from amongst you sees any evil taking place, he should try and change it with his hand. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِ. If he can't change it with his hand, then he should speak out against that wrong. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِ. And if he cannot change it with his speech, with his tongue, he should at least think of it as bad in his heart. وَذَٰلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِمَانِ. That is the lowest level of faith, the weakest level of faith. But we do the opposite today. When we see wrong, we don't speak out. When we see wrong, we turn away. And when somebody has said something to us personally, we go all out on the attack. We said, wait, I'm going to show him. He thinks that I'm a simpleton. I'm going to show him now. So unfortunately, this is why there's a decline. And we want the same glory. We want the same blessings as the previous Muslims, the Muslims of the past. But they were different. Their amal was on a far different level, greater level. And they would act upon the perfected teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It wasn't limited to reading a hadith, hearing about a hadith. Their first aim was to act upon it as well. And in any given situation, they would implement the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So, dear brothers in Islam, viewers of Madani channel, today we heard about forbearance, the hilm of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when you're angry, you're filled with rage, control your anger. Show patience, display tolerance, forbearance. And the reward of that, subhanAllah, is with Allah Jalla wa Ala. The Prophet ﷺ said, and I will finish this with this, Al-Hilmu bit-tahallum. That forbearance will only come through practicing it. You know, if you're in 10 different situations where you can react and in every situation you display your anger, then how are you going to ever adopt forbearance? Force yourself, compel yourself to show patience. And inshallah, you will see your iman increase. You will feel the pleasure of that act that you've carried out, which is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala make us all embodiments of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And may He fill our hearts with forbearance, hilm, tolerance and patience as well. Ameen bijahi Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Calling upon you, Allah.